Well, the last words of Tess on the Bay, his last two words. We discussed yesterday the question. Now, our Mishnah had distinguished between the Nedarim of Ksherim and of Rishoyim, and primarily we said the distinction can be said that the Rishoyim do Nedarim, Ksherim do Nedavos. Where we said it's not even so much the Lashon, it's more the motivation behind it. But the idea being that a Nedava in general is something where you're much closer to fulfilling it. You've taken on a much stronger commitment. You've said this animal is a carbon to begin with, and therefore that kind of expression shows that you're much closer to fulfilling the neder, and that kind of thing, Ksherim will make their nedarim when they make them in such a way that there'll be more of a guarantee that they'll actually follow through on it. They'll do their best to make it in such a way that something won't end up getting in the way. So we said now the Meir and the Yehuda have a machlokas about how to learn a pasuk in Kehelas about what's better to not make a neder in the first place, which is what Rav Meir says, or to make it and fulfill it, which is what Rav Yehuda says. Now neither one of them seems to be distinguishing between neder and nedava. So who would our Mishnah be like? So first we said that Rav Meir himself would say that there's a difference between neder and nedava. In which case we had to alter the wording of the Mishnah a little bit, because the expression would be by the Kshedim would say nodav rather than nodar, the nazir of a carbon. So now the Gemara brings up another possibility, another way of understanding who the Mishnah goes like. Another possibility is you could even say that on Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda, which could mean exclusively like Rabbi Yehuda, or it could mean like either Rabbi Yehuda or the Meir, because ki omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Adava. Because when Rabbi Yehuda is saying that, so again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the order of precedence is the best thing is to be noder and mashalim, is to make a neder and then pay it off. Next best is not noder at all, is not to make a neder at all. Worst of all is to be noder and mashalim, to make a neder and not fulfill it. So that's within the pasuk, that's what we were understanding. So now we can say ki omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Adava, that when Rabbi Yehuda is talking about that the best thing of all is ben Adava, is when a person makes an Adava and then fulfills it. The neder like omer, but he's not talking about a neder, which means in other words the Ran says. Now we learned yesterday that in this pasuk, Tov Asher LeSider, Mishatider V'Lo Tishalim, we had Rav Meir understanding it saying that Tov, the best of all, is Asher LeSider if you don't make a neder in the first place. And then we said Rav Yehuda says that no, that just means it's better to do that than to be noder V'Ein Mishalim, but even better would be to make a neder and fulfill it. So now, the Ran says, according to the second explanation over here in the Gemara, we can say there's no actual argument between them as far as how to douse in the pasuk. They both agree the best of all would not be to make a neder in the first place. The machloikas, rather, would be that when, according to Rav Meir, when the pasuk says the best of all is not to make a neder, that also includes not to make a nedav. And here, Rabbi Yehuda would be disagreeing and saying the best, and saying that making a nedav is different, and that is a very good thing to do. Incidentally, I forgot to mention yesterday that everybody agrees. Now, we talked about the Rishoyim making the Dorim and how it's not appropriate and so forth. Everybody agrees that the Eis Tzara is different. Then it is appropriate to make a neder. We find by Yaakov Avinu when he was in trouble, he's running away to Laban's house by Yidow Yaakov Neder Lem. So the Rishonim explain that when a person is having problems and he makes a neder because of that, then that's a good thing. But we're talking about over here at other times. Within that also, I mean, even we say a person makes a neder based tzara, that can be a neder like Yaakov did, that he's going to bring korbanos, that he's going to build, he's going to set up the site of the smithdash. It could be to give tzedakah or whatever, not necessarily a neder to deprive himself of something. That's more. So the Rambam describes at the end of Hilchos Nedarim, you can have a person, for example, realizes that he's been indulging too much in some kind of taiva, so he finds it necessary to make a neder to hold himself back from it. Mm-hmm. Like we had the story of that bacher who came to Shimon HaTzadik yesterday, who was looking at his looks and starting to pride himself on them and so forth. But ordinarily, the Rambam says, you know, better a person should just keep away from the thing without making a neder. A neder is not always necessary to make in order to hold himself back from something.
I love it. Also, he was the ishbach of a neder.
Yeah, by Yidow Yaakov Neder Lema. Yeah, that's at the beginning of Vayetzi. Anyway, so again, so in the Gemara, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would say that a nedava is different. The neder, like Omar, he's not talking about a neder. He agrees that a neder is best not to be, is best not said in the first place. So the Gemara says, "V'alkatani tov mezel mezen nodur makayim." What do you mean? In the Braisa, when we quoted Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, we said better, the best thing of all is nodur makayim, is a person who makes a neder and fulfills his neder. And the answer is Tony no Deva Makayim, the same way as in the Gemara previously, I'm Tesla Bez, we had to change the word in the Mishnah from Nodar to Nodav, the same way over here in the Braisa, we make the same kind of change. We say he doesn't mean no Deva Makayim, but the best of all is no Deva Makayim. Now, the Pasuk doesn't spell that out because the Pasuk doesn't use the word Nodava at all. The Pasuk there in Kehelas is talking strictly about Nodarim. So we can understand then, like the Ran says, that everybody agrees that with that a neder, the best thing is not to say it in the first place, but when it comes to a nedava, Rabbi Yehuda holds that is the best of all. To make a nedava and then fulfill it. Okay, so now the question is, Maishna neder deloy, so what are you telling me the problem is with making a neder, even according to Rabbi Yehuda? Dilma osibo de takola, you may have the problem of takola, like we said before, you may be over on Balta Acher. So nedava nami yom ha'asi l'day takala. Don't you have the same problem with nedava? How does it help that you said a word of nedava, or that you said to begin with, I'm going to bring this particular animal as a korban? You still have the same problem potentially about the acher. And we said the whole point is the psherim make their nedarim in such a way that there's as little chance as possible of something not being fulfilled. So the answer is Rabbi Yehuda l'taymei. Rabbi Yehuda will go according to his own svara that the way the kshedim do it, to Omar, he says, Adam maybe keeps sasir la'azara, the person will first bring his sheep to the azara, or makdisha, and only when he gets there will he be makdishit, the soimachalaya, and then do smicha, and it reshechta, and then shechta, and that way, so like we said yesterday with Hillel Azokin, where he would do that, there's very little window of opportunity then. There's no issue of Balta Acher because to begin with, he doesn't even make the Nedava, he didn't even declare the Nedava until he's there at the Beis Mikdash. So there's no real potential problem of Balta Acher. There's not a problem of Me'ila either, really, because in that small window of opportunity, there's really no time to do Me'ila. So therefore, we're good. Incidentally, Tosfos points out two things. First of all, why is the Gemara mentioning what Rabbi Yehuda says, or that maybe Kivsasi La'azara, we could bring the case of Hillel like we did yesterday. So Tosfos says, because we're talking within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, we might as well bring something that Rabbi Yehuda himself says. He himself says this line, or that maybe Kivsasi La'azara, so therefore we might as well quote that in order to support our understanding of his opinion. Second of all, Tosfos points out an interesting point. The word kivsasoi means a female sheep. So what are we talking about? An oila can't be a female, it has to be a male. Necessarily, then, we're talking about a shlamim. Now, Tosfos learns that the takola we're talking about over here is not so much bal ta'achar, like the Ran had said, but rather the possibility of me'ila. Well, we said yesterday, there's no such thing as me'ila by a live shlamim. The first time that me'ila ever applies to a shlamim is after it's shechted and cut apart, where then the imurim, the parts that are burnt on the mizbeach, then me'ila applies to them, if the person were to take that chaylev and use it for his own purposes. So that being the case then, how are we even talking about the possibility of takala anyway?
You cut the sheep's on top of the here dove.
No, so that's the thing. It's true you're not allowed to shear a sheep that was designated as a shlomim, or any kind of korban. However, in the case of a shlomim, if he does, and that's not me'ila. He's over on an isur. He's over on that isur, but it's not necessarily me'ila. So therefore, Tosfos is, again, Tosfos who follows l'shitas sum throughout the sugya, that the takola we're talking about over here is not so much about ta'acher, but rather me'ila, then how are we even talking about me'ila anyway? And Tosfos answers, it may be true that technical me'ila doesn't apply to a shlomim while it's alive, only to the emurim of it, but there still is an isur involved. So therefore, we can still say, Tosfos says an isur daraisa. It may not be me'ila, so he's not going to bring a korban me'ila for it, and he's not going to bring a sham me'ila for it, and have to pay a keren v'chomish, but nevertheless, there still is an isur involved in using a shlomim, like we just said, for example, about shearing it. So therefore, so now the Gemara is one, so now the answer is, though, that when he does that, when he's first makdish it, when he brings it to the Beis Mikdash, there's no real window of opportunity for even that lesser kind of me'ilah, which would be an Isur D'Oraisa, even if not rising to the level of actual technical me'ilah.
Oila, same thing, right?
An oila would be the same thing, except no. An oila, first of all, me'ilah does apply while it's alive. Since an oila eventually is going to be burnt completely on the Mizbeach, then in general, the rule is kodshe kodshim, me'ilah applies to them while they're alive, kodshim kalim not. So in the case of an ola, for example, you could be over me'ilah. Let's say, for example, well, if it's a large enough animal, like an ox, you could ride it. For example, that would be me'ilah. In the case of a smaller animal, like a sheep, you could you lean on top of it already would be me'ilah. For example, yeah. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, since you bring it to the Azara right before, and only then are you makdish it. So then, if we say the problem is Baal Ta'acha, you're not going to have Baal Ta'acha then. If you say the problem is Me'ilah, or even not Me'ilah per se, but just an Isur D'Oraisa of using the animal, then you don't have a window of opportunity for that either. And therefore, that's what we're saying, the Kshed and do things that way. So now the question is, Tenach Nedavah to Nekorbanus. So that explains the Nedavah of Korbanus, how you arrange things like that. Nedavah to Nezirus Ma'ifamema. What about, though, we said in the Mishnah that Kshedim can also make a Nedavah of Nezirus. And how is that going to work? After all, you still have the potential when a person becomes a Nazir that he may end up, that he may end up being over on his Nezirus, or that he may end up becoming Tomei, or well, that's one of the ways of being over on his Nezirus, whatever. So why are the Kshedim be taking on a Neder of Nazir anyway? If we're saying the whole point is the Kshedim make their Nedarim in such a way that there should be as little opportunity as possible to end up being over on the Neder. And the answer is Rabbi Yehuda Latane, and the answer is again that Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his own svara. Omar, he says in a brayse, Rabbi Yehuda, the chassidim arishonim hoyim misaven lahavi korban chatas. The early chassidim had a taiva; they wanted to be able to bring a korban chatas because they wanted to bring every possible kind of korban. So like this, an ola they can bring, a shlomim they can bring, but where are they going to have an opportunity to bring a chatas? Lefisha ein hakadosh baruch hu, maybe takol al yudeim. Now Hashem doesn't cause anything to go wrong through them, so they're not going to have an opportunity. They're not going to have an opportunity for bringing a chatas. And in fact, the mafarish over here says two explanations on it. One explanation is that they're afraid that after all they may have done an aveda at some point that might make them liable to a chatas. Now, if they would actually just come with a chatas to the Beis Hamikdash, then they would go to that Beis Din Shel Kohanim we talked about yesterday, and they would tell them, "I'm sorry, what you did does not actually rise to the level of a chatas. So your conscience may be bothering you, but you can't actually bring a chatas for that." So now they wanted to find a way where, after all, they will be bringing a chatas for a different reason. The Mefodosh's second explanation is because in the first place they're not even in a situation of bringing a chatas, and again they want to bring every kind of carbon. So how would they do it? Says Rabbi Yehuda.
We learned recently in Yaakov there was someone using every day
an Oshem Tolery. We talked about a couple of days ago that Bavim and Butter would bring every day an Oshem Tolery, but an Oshem is not a chatas. So how would they do it? So Lefisha Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takol Alidem. Maha Yu Oisin. So what would they do? Oimdin Masnadin Nezirus Hamakim. So they would go and declare Nezirus for Hashem. Kadeshi is Chayav Korban Chatas. And this way, at the end, a Nazir, when a Nazir finishes his Nezirus, he brings three Korbanas. One of them is a Chatas. Oh, now we have an opportunity to bring a Chatas.
It's only once in 30 days,
but at least they can bring it. So according to the Mefarish's first explanation, the point is, in case during that time they had accidentally done something which their conscience is bothering them, and they're thinking, I would like to bring a chatas for it, but they can't because it doesn't technically rise to the level of a chatas. There you go. They're bringing a chatas for the Nezirus, and they can have in mind this thing as well. And according to the second explanation, the vote would be, now they have an opportunity to bring every kind of korban, because now they're bringing a chatas as well.
Every single korban,
There's not a separate Beis Din, but in general, in the Beis Mikdash, there was a Beis Din Shel Kohanim, and they had their different responsibilities. Among their responsibilities is the practical fact to make sure that the korbanos are being brought the way they're supposed to. But included in that is also when a person would come with his korban, then he would talk to them and they would make sure that they would make sure that he's bringing it for the right reasons, and that and so forth. In this case, with a chatas, they would be the ones who they'd have to ask him whether what he did actually requires a chatas, because otherwise you can't bring a chatas for neder and a dava, and you can't bring chol and ma'azara, so you have to have somebody supervising that. So that would be the space in shokayim. And the Mefarish doesn't actually mention the word based in Shokarinim, but that seems to be the implication, that if he were to come one day with a schatas without having the zirus, then they would tell him you can't, or maybe he himself would realize. I mean, these chassidim would have shown him, they knew la lochus, they would know that in fact, you know, I'd love to bring a chatas, but I know I can't, so even without asking the based in Shokarinim, they would realize on their own. So like this, Rabbi Yehuda says, they would make a neder of nezirus, and that way they're going to bring a chatas. But the Braisa continues. Reb Shimon Omer, loy nadru ben nazir. So Reb Shimon says no. As a matter of fact, they wouldn't do that because Reb Shimon, as we're going to go on to say in the Gemara, he holds it's wrong to accept nazirus at all, unless like you have the rare example like that bachur with Shimon Atzadik from yesterday. So you can't say that these chassidim or rishonim would make a neder of nazir in order to be able to bring a chatas. That's not a valid reason to become a nazir. Ella. Well, kiddush is actually, when we learn Masech the Nazir, we'll talk about that. It's not so simple, actually, given that it's possible, and the Gemara does mention over there, lesser yein mitzvah ki yein harushus, but we're going to discuss over there whether, in fact, the Nazir is also to make kiddush, or whether there are ways around that. But indeed, you can always hear kiddush from somebody else anyway, so. So Rav Shimon says, so if a person wants to bring an oil, there's no dehate, he can make a nedava and bring it. Shlomim misnadav maybe, toidav abba minim lachim misnadav maybe. Even a person wants to voluntarily give a toida together with the four kinds of bread that comes with it, he can do that. But Rav Shimon says, no, these chassidim or rishonim would never make a nedava of nezirus. In order that they're not called sinners, because shenema v'chipur olamasha chota al nafesh, we find that when a nazir becomes tameh and he brings his karbanos, the expression in the pasuk is that the kohen will accomplish a kapara for him for the fact that he sinned against the nefesh. So Rav Shimon understands that it means now on one level it can mean that he sinned that he became tameh because that's the context of the pasuk. But Rav Shimon is going to understand that in general a person is becoming a nazir, he's doing something wrong by it. Fine, the Torah gives him the ability to do that, but nevertheless, Reb Shimon is saying the pasuk is also hinting with those words that it's not a good thing to do.
Right.
So again, you have the example of that bacher with Shimon Atzadik. Then fine, Reb Shimon would agree that's a rare example where it's l'shem shamayim and you can. But even these chassidim or rishonim to do nezirus, which itself Reb Shimon says is a negative thing, just in order to be able to bring a chatas, that's not a valid reason, says Reb Shimon. It comes out then maybe in fact that Rav Shimon may not agree with what we said in our Mishnah, can nidvos kshedim not of a nazir of a korban, because according to him there's next to no way that a person can make a nedava of the zirus, and it would be the one of a kosher. So again, maybe you have that one example of that bacher, but other than that, really according to him, nidvos ksherim would not include nezirus, because he's saying that nezirus in and of itself is a chet. So now the Gemara points out, Amar Abaya, Shimon Atzadik, Rav Shimon, Rav Elazar Akapar, Kulon Shita Achasein, all of them, all of those three Tanoim, hold according to one way of thinking, the nazir choytehavi, that becoming a nazir involves an aveira. Now, we don't mean that they're not identical. We don't mean they're identical. In particular, the Ran says, in the case of Shimon HaTzadik, we said yesterday he wouldn't eat from the osham of a mitzorah, and the osham is brought when the mitzorah becomes tomei. So Shimon HaTzadik held that the problem is, not sorry, I said mitzorah, I meant nazir. Reb Shimon HaTzadik then, based on what we learned yesterday, would say when a nazir becomes tomei, then we say that maybe most people at that point would regret that they ever became a nazir in the first place, and therefore maybe their korban is not as cholin ba'azara. So he would hold that a nazir who goes through his nazirus without any problems and finishes off for 30 days or whatever and brings his korbanos, Shimon HaTzadik would have no problem with him. As opposed to the other two Tanoim that we're saying over here, Reb Shimon, which is Reb Shimon ben Yochai, and Reb Elazar HaKapper, they would hold that even to begin with, to become a Nazir is not so good. So it's not exactly the same shita, but the point is we do see that all of them agree that nezirus involves, that can involves or can involve some kind of chet. So that's what Abaye means when he says the b'shita achas. We often find such a thing, by the way, Tosfos brings other examples from Shas where we'll say that we'll list a bunch of Tanoim and say they all follow the same shita, but really when we analyze it, we'll find it's not that they would necessarily all agree with each other. Each one might hold his din, each one holds his din, but wouldn't necessarily hold the other one's dinim, but they all have the same underlying idea, which though different ones may apply it differently. So the same way over here, they all have the same underlying idea that there's a chet involved with the zivs. Shimon HaTzadik would limit it to when he became Tameh. Everybody else would say that it applies even when he never became Tameh.
I guess
the Pnimius and Yonim, you could say it has to do with the fact that he's chesed, but at least on the surface over here, we're not saying that. So Shimon HaTzadik with Shimon HaDamoran, we already quoted the things with Shimon HaTzadik where he says he wouldn't eat from the oshrim of a nozer tameh with the exception of that one boy. So we see, in other words, that he holds, as we said yesterday, that when a nozer becomes tameh, then usually he regrets the fact that he ever became a nozer, and therefore we say his korbanos are almost cholin ba'azara, or maybe even literally cholin ba'azara, and therefore he holds that there's a chet involved over there. Reb Shimon, we just said, because we said Reb Shimon says that even the Chassidim or Rishonim would not make a neder of Nezirus, because a neder of Nezirus is not really an appropriate thing to do. So if that means they can never bring a chakas in their lives, then so be it. Rabbi Lazar Akapa Berebi, the Tanya. What about Rabbi Lazar Akapa Berebi? Where do we see that he holds that? Berebi, by the way, doesn't mean the son of Rebbe. Berebi, or Berebi it is in some places in Shas, means the great Talmid Chacham of his generation. So Rabbi Lazar Akapa, where do we see that he holds of such a thing? Tanya, Rabbi Lazar Akapa Berebi Omer, when the Pasuk says about a Nozir, B'chiper Olavasha Chota Awa Nafesh, the Pasuk says the Kohen, when he brings his Korbanos, is accomplishing a Kapora for him for the fact that he sinned against the soul. So V'chiper Eze Nefesh Chota. What kind of soul did he sin against? Now, Rabbi Lazar Akapa is saying you can't mean that he sinned by becoming Tomei, because wasn't necessarily a sin. He didn't necessarily do it deliberately or something. He was standing there, and all of a sudden, the person next to him dropped dead. That's an oinus. Or whatever. So you can't call that chota. So therefore, Ela should seer atzim and ayayim. Rather, Rabbi Lazar HaKaplan says, the fact that to begin with, he deprived himself of wine, that he gave himself a tsar by depriving himself of wine, that's enough to call him a chote. And Rabbi Lazar HaKapa continues, V'aloi dvorim kavachoymer. Now that we say that, then we should be able to make a kavachoymer. U'mazeh shaloi tzir atzma elam en ayayin. Madach, such a person who deprived himself only of wine. Okay, the other things that come from grapes as well, but still, he's still allowed to eat meat, he's still allowed to have all kinds of other foods and drinks or whatever. Nikra chote, and still he's called a chote. Hamitzar atzma called dover alachs kamavakama. How much more so a person deprives himself of everything. Mikan, from here, says Rabbi Lazar HaKapa, kola yoshi betainis nikra chote. A person who sits and fasts, a person who accepts a fast on himself, says Rabbi Lazar HaKapa, is called a chote. So again, obviously there are fasts Rabbi Lazar HaKapa agrees that we have to. If the scheduled fast throughout the year, of course you have to keep those. The fast that they make, that the tzibur makes, are called tzoda sholetovei al tzibur, if there's some kind of disaster or whatever happening, chas v'shalom, no question, Rabbi Lazar HaKapa says you have to join in those fasts. But he's talking about when a person accepts a voluntary fast on himself, and then Rabbi Lazar HaKapa was saying that's not such a good thing. And the Gemara has a whole discussion. The Gemara has a whole discussion about it in the Masechta Tainis, about that you have that opinion, you have a different opinion that says, on the contrary, a person who takes on a fast is called Kodesh. So there, the Gemara says one distinction is, can he actually manage or not? Is it causing him deprivation to actually do that fast or not? So there's that factor. There's other factors involved. You know, the Altadeva says in Tanya that nowadays we're weak and we shouldn't be fasting. We shouldn't be fasting for Tshuva at all. Instead, we should be giving lots of tzedakah. So Rabbi Lazar HaKapa, so we see, though, that he holds that Nezirus is considered a chet. So the Gemara asks, "V'hadenu b'nazir tamei k'siv." What do you mean, though? That pasuk is only talking about a nazir tamei. So then the pasuk is saying, "Asher chalta al nafesh," in that connection. How is Rav Elazar HaKapa applying it more generally to and Rav Shimon? How are they applying it more generally to a nazir, to a nazir in general? Now Shimon HaTzadik is being very consistent. He's saying, that says the Ran, that it's only about a nazir tamei. Well, yeah, because that's what he said. I would never eat the oshim of a nazir tamei. Because that's when I hold there's the problem. But Rav Shimon and Rav Elazar HaKapa, who hold that in general a nazir is a choyte, how do they understand the fact that this pasuk is only in the context of a nazir tamei? And the answer is Mishum Deshona B'chetu. The difference is, it would apply according to them more generally. But the reason why the Torah mentions it in that particular place is because Shona B'chet, because he repeated the wrong thing. So the Ran says, in other words, that he made himself tsar of depriving himself of wine in the first place, and that he became tameh. So now, the tumah itself is not necessarily that he did something wrong. Again, it could be ba'onus. But if it was just because of the tumah, it could have just said masher chota without the word ala nefesh. The fact that the words ala nefesh, say to Shimon and Rabbi Elazar Kapper, that comes to hint to us that b'chlal, now he compounded it by becoming tumah. But even to begin with, when he became a nazir in the first place, was not really such a good thing to do. Now, what's wrong with that? So the fact that he became tamei, again, it wasn't necessarily that he didn't want to. So the Rosh explains, first of all, now it means, so one explanation is pamayim mitzar. Now he's troubling himself twice. Because what happens, we know, he loses all the previous days and he has to start all over again. So therefore, it comes out that he's deprived himself of wine twice. Once by the original Nazirus, and once that he's going to have to start over after his Tumah. So therefore, now the Pasuk stresses that Asher Chota Al Nafesh, you should know that now especially, he's compounded things, he's made things worse by becoming Tumah. Okay, it wasn't necessarily his fault, but now, even more so, he's made Matzar himself even more than he even should have in the first place. But even to begin with, he shouldn't have been Matzar himself in the first place by taking on the Nazirus at all.
Those things we learned, the one that he asked the Roman king to heal him because he wanted to see his
Oh, Reb Tzadik.
Because he was doing it for the chet of the people. Right?
That's different. Reb Elazar, Reb Tzadik, before the Churban, when he was fasting, during the last 40 years of the Bismarck, obviously he'd eat at night, but still, that's different. That was for the chatoyim of the Jewish people in order to ask Hashem not to bring the Churban. Right, even Reb Elazar HaKapa, the pashtus, wouldn't have a problem with that. Next, the Mishnah says, so now we talked about previously kinuyim. All this time, we've mostly been focusing on yodos. Remember, the first Mishnah had said kol kinuyim nedorim kinedorim, and then we right away jumped into talking about yodos, and we've been discussing those. And we said in the Gemara at the beginning that the Mishnah seems to be missing the word yodos. The Mishnah never actually says the word yodos. Instead, it just goes and starts defining them. So now that we finished with yodos, now we're getting back to kinuyim. We talked about at the beginning on that day's daf gimel. Is it that we have this X-like structure, this chiastic structure? So to have first, we're going to say kinuyim. Then we should have mentioned yodos, but the Tana left them out. Then he starts describing yodos, and now we're going back to kinuyim. Or is it, we said, even according to Rish Lakish, that the first words may be missing, and the Mishnah should have started, kol yodos nedarim kinedarim, and then continued with kinuyim. Then it would discuss yodos, and now it would discuss kinuyim. In any case, now we're up to discussing kinuyim.
So I can say Mishnah is missing stuff.
You can. That's Chasuri Master. All over the place we say the Mishnah is missing words. Okay. Yeah.
That's what Dorin Barais said.
No, in Mishnayos also we often say Chasuri Master. And the idea would be, again, that since the Mishnayos were learned by heart, once a certain nusach of the Mishnah was established by the people who learn Baal Peh, then they would tend to keep it because otherwise you're going to mix them up by adding extra words in.
So
Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, first, whether Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wrote the Mishnah or not is Machlokas we showed you. The Rambam holds he did, Rashi holds he didn't. But in any case, even, we're talking about before Rebbe. Rebbe, for the most part, didn't change the wording of the Mishnayos that he had available to him, the various collections of Mishnayos that he had available to him beforehand. Generally, he didn't change the wording. The Gemara often expresses that with the words Mishnah Lezazim and Koima, that the Mishnah doesn't move from its place. So what Rebbe did when he composed the Mishnah is he took all the various versions of Mishnayos that were going around. You had, for example, the Mishnayos of Reb Meir. You had Reb Meir taught his Talmidim using a certain Lashon. Reb Yehuda taught his Talmidim using a different other Lashon. Reb Shimon using a different other one. So first of all, Rebbe had to decide one of them would be the basis for the Mishnah, namely the ones of Reb Meir. And then he added, and then he decided among the various versions, which one would be the one to choose, which one becomes the official Mishnah versus which ones are left as Braises.
According to
everybody, the Rambam holds that Rebbe also wrote it afterwards. Rashi holds that not. According to Rashi, he doesn't say it was written out. It was written down at some later point. Rashi doesn't specify when. But in any case, I mean, Rebbe did more than that also. But the point is that Rebbe used a lot of material that was available to him beforehand. He didn't write everything from scratch. One interesting example they give of that is at the end of Masechta Kalim, Rabbi Yossi said that the last din in Masechta Kalim is a din about a certain kind of glass keli that is not makabel tumah. So it finishes off, and then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi says, Ashraich Kalim, how happy, how fortunate you are, Masechta Kalim, that you started with tumah and ended with tara, because it begins with the words, Avos HaTumas. So we see that Rabbi Yossi, who was a generation before Rebbe, already had Mishnayos Kalim to a large extent in the form that we have it, where it begins Avos HaTumas and ends Va'afalkas Shal Schuchas Tahora. So even though he was the generation before Rebbe. So that's an example, and there are other examples that show that large parts of the Mishnayos already existed more or less in the form that we have them before Rebbe, and Rebbe just put them all together and added editorial comments in some places and other, and sometimes changed the wording, but generally not. Okay, so now we're getting back to Kinui. The Mishnah says, Ha'omer l'chaveira, the word l'chaveira is in parentheses. It's not really l'chaveira. We're talking about a neder over here. We can be making it between himself and Hashem. Okay, so why the word l'chaveira? So you often have, the expression Ha'omer l'chaveira, so the printers by mistake put it in. Anyway, if a person says, koinam koinach koinos, hare l'kinuim l'korban, any of those words, a person says that this food is koinam to me, or koinach, or koinos, all of those are kinuim for korban, and it means, so now it can mean, So if he has food in front of him, for example, then it means that's matzis, which we talked about before, namely that he's saying this food should be like a korban, and therefore just like a korban is also an off limits to him, so is this food. So in other words, it's a neder. It can also be sometimes that it can mean he's actually declaring that I will bring this animal as a korban. In any case, the point is we're going to see in the Gemara why we have these kinuyim in the first place.
But the word, these words.
So the actual words, that's the thing. So they're substitutes for the word korban. Why it is that we're using those substitutes rather than the actual word, that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. But we know in Kol Nidre we have a couple of them. We say the koiname, the kinuse, the kinuye. So koiname is the word koinam. Kinuse is the word koinos that we have over here. Kinuye means any other kinds of kinuyim that are valid. Harei the kinuyim l'korban, so all of those are kinuyim for the word korban. Similarly, cheref, harei the kinuyim l'cherem, all of those are kinuyim for the word cherem. So if a person were to say, this thing is cherek, or this thing is cherek, then it would mean that it's cherem. And the Ran points out that we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, there are two kinds of cherem, actually. There's cherem magavoya, which goes to Bedek HaBayis, so then it's basically like any other hekdesh, and there's cherem l'koyanim, where you have to give it to the koyanim. The Ran refers to later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about, they had a difference in that regard between Yehuda and Galil, between the south and the north of Eretz Yisrael, in terms of which one was the default kind of cherem. In Yehuda, since they're closer to the Bais Mikdash, the default kind of cherem was the default actually the other way around. In the Galil, the default kind was cherem gavoya. In Yehuda, the kind that go to Hekdash. In Yehuda, the default kind was cherem koyin. We're going to talk about it later on in the Sefer. So therefore, the Yehuda is closer to the Bais Mikdash, but in the Galil, if a person said cherem without specifying, then generally it would mean cherem koyin. And if he says, so we'll see. We're going to have a Mishnah about it. So he has the expression the Mishnah has the expression over there that in the Galil, she'ena, the expression is that they're not familiar. She'ena amshin Galil makirnas trumas alishka. In the Galil, they're not familiar with the whole concept of kodshim. So, oh no, that's something else over there. That's actually trumas alishka. Whatever, we'll talk about it later on about which one about the two kinds of karam. So again, so here the Ram says either we're talking about that. So either we're talking about over here in the Golil where he just says Chedem and automatically that makes him Hekdesh, or in Yehuda where he specifies Chedem where he says Chedem Shalvedet Abayis and Chedem Lagavaya. So again, if instead of the word Chedem he uses the word Cherek or whatever, then that would also work.
Right,
because these are Kinuyim. These are examples of Kinuyim where we're saying we're going to see in the Gemara where the source of Kinuyim is. But where the sources that they work that we discussed the other day in the Gemara. The fact that Kinuyim work, actually, we said we may not even really need a pasuk for it per se, because we said it's logical, given that they have this meaning in the languages of the Goyim or languages that the Chachamim themselves invented, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara, then of course they would work. So that's not the Chiddush. The Chiddush is, the Mishnah is giving us this list. So actually, the interesting point is, if we're saying, now we're going to say in the Gemara, again, we have two opinions. One is that these come from Goyish languages. The other is that these are Lashonis that the Chachamim invented. So at the beginning of the Masechta, the Ran brings up the point. If you're going to say that these are from Goyish languages, then what's the Chiddush? Why even mention a list at all? Just say, if a person makes a Nedu in any language, then it's valid. Why list these particular ones, Koinam, Koinach, etc.? And so the Ran says the reason is because the fact is he says a chacham gadol of Yehuda Reb Chisdo, he's referring to the bracha. I don't know much about him, but apparently he was an important enough rishon for the Ran to call him by such a title. Anyway, he says the chiddush is it's one thing if you say something in the standard language of the goyim to say something. For example, if in English you were to say I vow or whatever, or I make an oath, then of course that would be valid. But if these words koinam, koinach, koinas, whatever, even in the languages of the goyim, they're kind of like slang, or they're kind of like careless ways of talking that the goyim in those countries use. So you would think maybe it wouldn't be effective, and therefore the Mishnah is telling you it is effective. Tosfos there actually has a different understanding of it, that what it means is when it comes to using any other Goyish word, any other word from any other language, you would have to understand what you're saying for it to be a valid neder. So if a person who doesn't speak English says the word this is a vow, that wouldn't work because he doesn't understand what he's saying. But if he uses the word koinam or koinach, etc., then it works even if he doesn't understand what the word koinam or koinach means. That's how Tosfos says. And then, different Mephoshim afterwards discuss how could that be. Don't you need Piv the Libo Shovin? You have to have that the person has in mind to make a neder if he doesn't understand what he's saying. How could that work? Anyway, the Mishnah continues. Nozik Naziach Paziach Harel Kinuim Lenazirus. By the same token, if a person says, I will be a Nozik or Naziach or Paziach, all of those are Kinuim for Nazirus, and therefore he's a Nozik. Or Shvusa Ushkuka. Or neder b'moihi, or if he makes a neder, which here we mean neder in the looser sense, we mean a shvur, b'moihi, harei l'kinuim l'shvur, all of those are kinuim for shvur. What is moihi? So what is moihi? So there's two major explanations. The Rambam, and also the Mephoresh over here, says that the Aramaic word for shvur is moimasa. So therefore, moihi, again, is like a shibush, it's like a careless way of saying moimasa. So therefore that would work. On the other hand, the Ran understands that the word, and brings from the Yerushalmi, that the word Moihi is a nickname for Moshe. So now, does it mean that the person is actually swearing by Moshe? Now, there is that possibility, maybe. You do actually find, the Rambam mentions in Sefer HaMitzvot that he says, among our people, it's common for people to swear by Moshe or by Hashem who sent Moshe. And then that constitutes a valid shvur. But on the other hand, also, the Ran says that, no, what it means is, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that it means that the person is saying like this before, when Moshe came to live with Yisrael, the pasuk is by Yoyel Moshe, and we understand that it means that he made a shvua that he won't leave Midian without Yisrael's permission, and therefore later on in Parashas Shmos, when he wants to leave, then Hashem tells him you have to go ask permission. Hashem tells him to go to Midian and ask, and so he himself goes rather by Yelach Moshe by Yoshua by Yisrael Choisnei and says I want to go to Mitzrayim, and Yisrael tells him Leif L'Shalom. So Moshe had to begin with made a shvua that he wouldn't leave Midian without Yitzchak's permission. And now, when a person says a shvur b'moihi, what it means is he's making a shvur like the way that Moshe did. So those are the two possibilities of what b'moihi means. It's a word, it's related to the Aramaic word for shvur, or it's a nickname for Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's referring to the shvur that Moshe made. There is, by the way, there's a bunch of places in Shas where one of the Chachamim says to another one, Moshe Shapir Ta'amret. Now the usual explanation is that means that he's calling the other Chacham Moshe, and you have a Pichsidus, there's the idea every time a Chacham has a Nitzot of Moshe in him, and therefore he's referring to that. But there's at least one place where it explains, I think Rashi explains in one place, that it means that he swore by Moshe's name. He's saying, I swear by Moshe's name, Shapir Ta'amret. Are you saying correctly? What you're saying can't possibly be correct. So we see there was an example of swearing using Moshe's name. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Itmar. So now we have a discussion of Amiroyim. Kinuyim. Where do these Kinuyim come from in the first place? Rabbi Yechanan Amar Loshen Umesheim. Rabbi Yechanan says, these are words from the Goyish languages. Their word for Korban and their language is Konam, or their word for Cherem is Cherek, and so forth. Rav Shimon, Lakishraim, a Loshim Shabbaduch Lam Chachamim, Lias No Debodah. Shlakish says these are terms that the Chachamim invented for people to be using for Nidorim and Shuos. Bechainu Oima, Bechodesh Shabbadim Libai, as in fact, we find a Pasuk. What do you mean by Shabbadu? You find, for example, by Yeravam, after he set up the Egla Azahav, and he made a Yomtiv of his own. He made a new Yomtiv Sukkos doing Cheshvan instead of doing Tishrei. So the Pasuk describes it, Bechodesh, during the month, Shabbadim Libai, that he made up out of his own mind. So we see that the word bada means to make something up. There are mafoshim will point out that maybe that line doesn't belong in the Gemara. You have Rish Lakish himself is using the word shabbadu lam chachamim. Why is he bringing a proof for what he's saying from a pasuk? He doesn't need to bring a proof for his own lashon. So it's more likely that it was a note that somebody wrote by the side of his Gemara. Was shabbadu lam chachamim? He wrote a note, you know, like you have the word shabbadu mimibay, and eventually it made it by mistake into the Gemara.
Bada means also like separate himself.
No, that's bada would be to separate himself. Bada means they made it up. Yeah. So the question is, so why would the Chachamim make a takana? Why would the Chachamim invent these words for kinuyim? So the reason is, deloy lema korban. In order that the person shouldn't say korban. Well, what's wrong? Lema korban. What's wrong if the person says korban? And the answer is, doma oma korban la Hashem. Because he may not just say korban, he may say a korban to Hashem, as is a lashon haposuk. Now the question is, so what? V'leim a korban l'Hashem. So what's the problem if he says that? And the answer is, Dilma Omer l'Hashem v'leim a korban. Once he says korban l'Hashem, he might instead want to say l'Hashem korban. And now what might happen is he might say the word l'Hashem, and he might say the word l'Hashem and not say the word korban. He changes his mind, or even he drops dead on the spot. And then he's used for Kamapik, Shem Shamayim Levatola. Then he's used Hashem's name in vain, where we learned the other day that's a serious thing. So we want to avoid anything that would be likely to make a person use Hashem's name. It's not, but nevertheless, the fact. So the idea of dropping dead is that the Chassam Sofer says that, but the other possibility is maybe he changes his mind. He says Lashem, and then before he has the chance to say Korban, he says, you know what, forget about it. So now he's been Moitzi Shem Shamayim Levatola. V'tanya, and we learn in a braise of Shimon Omer, minayin shlo yema odim l'ashem ola l'ashem mincha l'ashem toda l'ashem shlomim. How do we know when a person declares an actual korban, he shouldn't say the word l'ashem first, he shouldn't say l'ashem ola or any of the other ones. Tamud lema korban l'ashem. Therefore, instead, the pasuk says, the pasuk uses the expression, korban l'ashem, odim kiyak mukem, korban l'ashem. So now, v'kava chomer, and... If he just says korban, that's fine. But if he says korban, he might end up saying Lashem korban, and then you have this problem. Then he might say Lashem without korban. So then, Reb Shimon is pointing out that even the pasuk itself expresses that it's not appropriate to use the word Lashem first, because the pasuk puts the word korban first. Adam kiyakum mikem korban Lashem, rather than it might have just as well have said Adam kiyakum mikem Lashem korban. But it put it dafka in the order of korban Lashem to demonstrate that that's the appropriate way to say it, and not the other way around. And Rav Shimon continues with Kavu Chomer. And now, once you have that, you can make Kavu Chomer. Umazda shemon iskaven ela lahazkir Hashem Shemayim al korban. Mada a case like this, what is he meaning to say Hashem's name for? Is in order to designate a korban. Omra torba korban la Hashem Levatola, and still Hashem, and still the Torah says that you should say Korban Lashem in order that you're not being Motzi Shem Shema, Torah Korban Lashem, Levatola, Allah is Kama Kama. How much more so if a person says Hashem's name Levatola, that it's wrong, which is what we learned the other day, that when a person says Hashem's name inappropriately, then Levatola, then he should be put in Nidui, and a person who hears it and doesn't do it should himself be in Nidui, and he said Anios Vatsuya, and so forth. So we see that even when it comes to a Korban, a person shouldn't be using Hashem's name first, he should be saying Korban first. The Mefarshim, by the way, talk about when it comes to the Sur Lashem and Sur Lazazel, when the Kohen Gadol makes the girdle on them, he says Lashem Chathas. So there you do have the word Lashem first. So how does that fit with what we're saying over here? So there's a couple of answers. Yeah, one of them is there. The Pasuk actually says that he says the expression Lashem Chathas comes from the Pasuk. The Hikriv Aaron is a Sur, all of my girdle Lashem, Vaso Chathas. So therefore it actually uses the word Lashem before Chathas. But they talk about different other angles on it also, one of them being that after all, there, even if he just says Lashem, even if he doesn't end up saying the word Chathas, it becomes the Sur Lashem. So therefore, there, saying Lashem all by itself is fine, whereas over here, if a person were to say on an animal Lashem and not end up saying Oilo or Shlomim or what have you, then it would be Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatola, and therefore you shouldn't be doing that.
Wouldn't
automatically be a Shlomim, because it could just as well be an Oilo, it could just as well be, yeah. So therefore, you have to actually specify what kind of Korban it is. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, Lema Katanoi. Well, can we say that this machloikas, Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish, about where the kinuyim come from, would be a machloikas tanoi? Namely, a braisa says, Beshama and kinuye, kinuye, kinuyin asurin. Beshama says not only the kinuyim of our Mishnah, but even kinuyim of those kinuyim. Misformed versions of those kinuyim themselves. We're saying the kinuyim themselves, one possibility is we're saying that those are like a, now, when we say the Shodis HaUmas, we don't mean, for example, that the Goyim came up with these words independently. When we say that these are the Shodis from the Goyim, what we can, Loshin Umas saying, Rabbi Yechon is saying, can mean the Goyim themselves, they had Jews living among them who are saying Korban, and the Goyim took over those words and then adapted them to and slurred them into their language, and the official word for it in their language became Koyim. So now, a Kinui, of that Kinui, Beshamai says, Kinui, Kinui, Nasurin, even that would be Osir. Or Basilam Kinuya Kinuyan returning, whereas Basila would say that not. So my lab, so doesn't that mean Manda Om Kinuya Kinuyan Asurin, Bishamai who holds that Kinuya Kinuyan also Kasava Kinuyan Loshin Umasain, he would hold that Kinuyan to the first place come from the languages of the surrounding Goyim. So in other words, once we have, let's say, konam is an official word in some language, so now if a person makes a kinui of that, the same way as the word konam itself is a corruption of the word korban in Lashon Kodesh, so the same way, now that the word konam is an official word in some other language, then therefore now if you have a corrupted version of that, then that would also be valid. Whereas a point of Basil that Kinuya Kinuyan do not constitute a nether, they would say because the original Kinuyan were invented by the Chachamim, so the Chachamim invented these terms, they didn't invent Kinuya Kinuyan. So now if a person makes a Kinuy of the word Koinam, nothing happens because the Chachamim said the word Koinam, the Chachamim didn't say some corruption of that word Koinam. So if we go like that, then it means that Rabbi Yochanan is going like the Shammai, and Rish Lakish would be going like the Hillel. So the Gemara answers, Loi, not necessarily, do you have to understand that way? The Kula Alma Kinuyim Loshin Umasain, everybody might, both Beshama and Basila might agree with Rabbi Yechanan that the Kinuyim come from Goyish languages, or Beshama Sabri Bahani Namin Shtoy Umas. So Beshama holds that the Goyim do use such words as well. Now we're going to give examples in the Gemara soon of Kinuya Kinuyim. For example, the word Koinam we said is a kin. What if a person says, we're going to have soon in the Gemara, what if a person says, for example, Mikananna? So he's taking the word Koinam and making a verb out of it. The mem at the beginning and the nun aleph at the end means I am doing such and such. So I am doing a Koinam. So that would be an example of Kinuya Kinuya. So now again, Rishana had said Kinuya Kinuya in work. If a person were to say Mikananna, that would constitute a neder. Rishillel says that no. So first we thought to say, and again, that Beshamai holds, the word koinam comes from a Goyish language. Well then, in that case, you can make a verb out of it just like you would any other. The same way, you know, you have, let's say, consider, for example, in modern Hebrew, you have, let's say, the word telephone that they took from the common word for a telephone, and they made a verb out of it. You can say, mitalpen. You can say, for example, that somebody is calling somebody on the phone. So they take it and they treat it as though it was a Hebrew word and put prefixes and suffixes on it. So the same way, this Shammai on the face of it would be saying, once the word konam is established as a word in some Goyish language, then sure, you can make a verb out of it just like you would any other language, any other word. Whereas the Silla would say that no. So now we're saying that no. Both this Shammai and the Silla will agree that the word konam comes from a Goyish language. So this Shammai will hold that they also use such terms, they also will take the words and make verbs out of them like that. Or Basila Sabi Bahani learned the story almost, whereas Basila will say that no. Now, it's not a machlokes the metzius, whether we're not going to just go walk down the street and see whether we hear goyim using such things or not. The point is, the Ran says, you have some of them that misuse the language like that, and therefore they talk like that. That doesn't mean, it's not the ikir loshin, it's not the official formal version of the language. People don't talk like that. So the fact that people on the street will use slang like that and will convert nouns into verbs and things like that, that doesn't necessarily mean, says Basilo, that that's reason enough for us to give that any chashivos in halach. Or another way you could understand, Beshamai says, you're right, goyim don't use words like matanam. But we have to be goyzer, we have to make a zera, that if you use kinuya kinuyim, you may come to use the kinuy itself, and think that that's also fine, and it's not. But Basila Sabi, like us, kinuya kinuyim, mishum kinuyim, whereas Basila would hold that not. So they're not necessarily arguing on the actual underlying point, whether these come from the shoyness of the goyim, or whether these are terms that the Chachamim themselves invented.
Is if something sounds similar or something doesn't sound.
So this is the machlokas. So we're saying the machlokas could be. So we could understand the machlokas. We're saying in three different ways. We could understand that they're arguing where the kinuyim come from, but then the problem with that is we end up with Rav Yochanan like this chat, right? We could say that they all agree that they come from the shoness of the goyim, but Beshilol is going to hold, we only care about the official formal version of their language. We don't care about the fact that people will go and then alter the language and go and then use slang and things like that. We're not worried about that. Where Beshamai is. And the third possibility we're saying is that Beshamai said, fine, it's true they don't use such terms, but we have to be goyzer because they're close enough to the kinuyin, and therefore you may end up using the actual kinuy of koinam, for example, and thinking that it doesn't make a difference.
So who can be more machmir?
Well, Beshamai is more machmir, saying kinuyin, kinuyin, or osir. But why they're saying kinuyin, kinuyin, or osir, again, we have three different ways of explaining it. And I'll explain to you
actually.
No, okay. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, kinuya kinuyin de nidorim. So what are examples of kinuya kinuyin of nidorim? Where Beshamai is saying those would be a problem, and Beshilul says that not. Tonin of Yosef. For example, makanamna, makanachna, makanasna. For example, he takes the shodesh of the word koinam, or koinach, or koinas, and makes a verb out of it. Puts a mem at the beginning, and a nun aleph at the end, which makes it an Aramaic. I am making a koinam, I am making a koinas, I am making a koinas. So that would be, so if he said, this is koinam, then yeah, that would be also. But if he says, makanamna, then Beshamai would hold that also constitutes a neder, and Beshilul would say that not. Okay, hefi dami kinuyi kinuyi in the chayim. What is an example of doing that with chayim? Toni mafsha, so mafsha, which is the name of a chacham, Torah braisa. For example, if he says charakim, charakim, charakim. For example, if he takes any of those words and pluralizes them and adds a yud mem at the end to make them a plural. I go to back. There's a different girsa that, for example, he says tachkarakim. So he not only makes them plural, but he adds a letter at the beginning. And kinuya kinuya de nazirus. What are examples of that by nazirus? Tonin of Yosef, machazakna manzachna mapichna. So these are all related to the word nozik or naziach or poziach that we had in the Mishnah. Actually, the Rashash says that really the correct girsa over here should be that again, for example, naziach, the shortage is nun zayin ches. So the first one over here should be manzachna. So you're taking again nun zayin kuf from the word nozik
and making a verb out of it. And the same thing with the other ones, we would be taking the word naziach from the Mishnah and making a verb out of it, and it would be manzachna. And the third one would be makzachna. So slightly different than we have it printed over here in the Gemara.
The verb is adding.
The verb is you're making it into a. You're saying I am doing such and such. The mem at the beginning, the nun aleph at the end, makes it I am making such and such, and you're turning it into a. You're turning it into a verb. So you're taking the shodesh and putting a mem at the beginning and then the nun aleph at the end. Yeah. Okay, so now the question becomes, what about if he uses terms like those? Now those would be that we're taking the shodesh, we're flipping around the last two letters. Now sometimes in Lashon Kodesh you can do that. For example, we have the word kesev and keves both mean a sheep. So in Hebrew, that's a valid way of forming words is by flipping around the last two letters. So imagine now, for example, the person takes the word, the kinui nozif. Not only does he make a verb out of it, but he flips around the last two letters. So instead of nun zayin kuf, he makes it nun kuf zayin, and then puts letters on it to form a verb. So now he, instead of manzikna, he says mankizna, for example. Again, the girsa we have over here in the Gemara machzakna is not necessarily the original girsa. But the point is, what if he's not on? So Tosfos explains that not only what he's doing, Tosfos actually has different girsas over here. But the point is, not only is he taking the shodesh, the Tosfos and the Rashash explaining what Tosfos is saying, that he's taking the shodesh, flipping around the last two letters and putting prefixes and suffixes on it. Is that considered kinuya kinuyan, or is that too far away that even Beshamay wouldn't have a problem with that? And Tosfos, by the way, also points out, you would have to have at least that the first letter of the shodesh stays intact. If, for example, let's say with koinam, the shodesh is kuf nun mem, if you were to put the nun beforehand, before the kuf, and say man kamna, then that for sure, even Beis Shammai wouldn't hold that's a kinui of a kinui, because you're not going to substitute, you're not going to change the first letter. If you're going to change around letters in a shodesh, it's going to be the second and the third letters. So that's the question. If he uses expressions like that, mifachzana, mitzchazana, mitzazana, are those close enough to manzachna that therefore those are still considered kinui of kinuim or not? My, what would you be doing? And some other ones, kinma mai. What if a person uses the word kinma? It does have the same basic shodesh letters as koinam, kuf nun mem, but koinam ka'omar, so does that constitute a way of saying koinam? Or yom a kinman besim ka'omar? Or maybe not. The word kinma itself is an independent word that means cinnamon. Like you have one of the spices in the Torah, and then in the Shemin HaMishpah is kinman besim. So maybe therefore all he's saying is, so maybe he's trying to make a neder like cinnamon. He's saying this thing is to me like cinnamon, and that of course is not a neder, because cinnamon is not a gavra neder.
Can't you simply ask the person, did you mean
to? Even if he says I meant, you still have to express something that constitutes a neder. If I were to say this thing is to me, gibberish, that wouldn't mean that it's also to me, because the word gibberish doesn't have a meaning of neder. So even if I had in mind that this thing should be also to me, the word gibberish itself doesn't have that meaning. So therefore, we're asking, the word kinma doesn't have the meaning of similar enough to koinam or not.
Cinnamon can be something that you're.
It could be something that's not. If you were to say, for example, the cinnamon is to me a korban, and then you were to say this bread is like the cinnamon, sure, that would be matzahs. But if you have cinnamon, and you say this food should be to me like cinnamon, that's not a neder. Similarly, by the same token, of acha breded of chia asked the Rashi, kina mai. What if instead of using the word koinam, what if you use the word kina with a hey at the end? Kina sheltan golem kamar. Would that be related to the word kina, meaning the nest of a bird? So again, that's not a valid neder. If a person says this thing should be to me like a nest of a bird, that doesn't make it also to him. Oyoma loshin de koinam. Or maybe it's a losh, maybe it's close enough to the loshin koinam that it would be considered a kinyan. And the Gemara says with all of them kino tiboy. With all of them, we're leaving it in teku. Tiboy is the expression we use in Nidorim, the Yoshalmi type expression, instead of teku. Now, by the way, an interesting thing, one of the Mephoshim in the back of the Gemara, the Poras Yosef, points out, all of this seems to only be according to Beis Shammai. According to Beis Hillel, Kinuya, Kinuyan don't matter anyway. Why on earth is the Gemara going through so much trouble to try and establish what Kinuya, Kinuyan are, if according to Beis Hillel, they don't work anyway? And the Halacha is like Beis Hillel. And for that matter, when we said before, Lema Katanoi, since when do we call them Achlokas Bishama Vesilim? Of course, they're Tanoim, but we know Bishama Vimakoim Vesil in a Mishnah. The halacha is almost never like Bishamai. So why are we using the word? Why we, so he says maybe, well, fine, Mashiach comes, okay, but right now, no. So he says maybe what it is even in the time of the Gemara, there were people who had the Braisa the other way around, who had Bishamai saying Kinui Kinui Namutr, and Vesil had that it's Osir, and therefore the Gemara is saying, just in case, if you're following that opinion, then we need to know about Kinuri Kinuri. Lemaisa, the postkin paskin, like the Hillel in the version of the Braisa that we have it over here, namely that Kinuri Kinuri Namoto. Okay. The Gemara says, hey, Kinuri and the Shwaya Hekagami. Kinuri and the Shwaya Hekagami. What about what's a Kinuri of a Kinuri of Shwa? So, for example, he says instead of Shwa, he says Shwu. Now, we said in the Mishnah that Shwu Sa and Shkuka are Kinuyim, but suppose instead he says Shwu El, Shwu Si El, Shkuki Shkuka El. So the Gemara says Shvuel. What do you mean? How could Shvuel constitute a neder? Shvuel ben Gershom Mashma. Shvuel is actually a name of a person mentioned in Divrei Hayamim, a descendant of Moshe. So, the same way as if you were to swear a Shvuah, I swear by Pliny, that wouldn't constitute a Shvuah, unless if that Pliny is Moshe Rabbeinu or something, maybe, but not Stam a person. So how could that constitute a Shvuah? El Shvuvo El Shvusil Shvukoil. So rather, so those. Mahu, so what would be the din of those? I've always had Bach takes out the word Mahu, because we're not asking the question. We're saying those are Kinuya Kinuyim of Shvuah. And we know already that Kinuya Kinuyim are not an issue according to the civil. There is one of the Mephoshim who wants to say that maybe the word Mahu over here could be conceivably a Kinuy from Moihi that we said in the Mishnah, and therefore that's what the Gemara means. Okay. Amar Shmuel. Mahu Amar. So, Omar Shmuel, Omar, if the person says Ashivsa like Omar Klum, if he says Ashivsa, so he's taking the word Shvusa of the Mishnah and making an alternate form of that and making it Ashivsa like Omar Klum, then what he said doesn't count for anything. Ashtika like Omar Klum, the same way if he takes the word Shkuka of the Mishnah and makes it Ashtika, which literally means I will do Ashtika like Omar Klum, then again it's not anything. That's Kinui Kinui. Krinsha like Omar Klum, and the same way if he says Krinsha or the Oroch has a Girsa, the Oroch has a Girsa Kurnasa, then Loyam Aklum, that also wouldn't count for anything, because those already are Kinuya Kinuyim, and there's no problem with that. We said in the Mishnah, Nodar B'moihi Harei the Kinuyim, that if you made a Nedar, meaning really a Shvua, using the word B'moihi, then that would also be an example of a Kinuy. So Tanya, we learn in a Braise, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Lema, Ho'ema B'moihi Loyam Aklum. Actually, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, if you just said the word B'moihi, then that doesn't count for anything. But if he says, using the moimsa, using the shvua that Moihi said, where again, he said Moihi is a nickname for Moshe, Hare the kinui in the shvua, then that is a valid kinui for a shvua. So just the Moihi by itself would mean in Moshe, and that's not a valid neder. So in other words, the Ran says, if he says shvua or shkuka, then those by themselves are a loshen of shvua, so therefore those count. But here, where he's saying the moihi, which refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, then he has to actually be saying b'moimsa d'amal moihi, with the shvua that Moshe said. Then the Ran brings another explanation, another girsa, that if a person says b'moimi or b'moimsa, then it wouldn't count for anything. The beis cancels it out. If he says moimi or moimsa, then it would be valid. In other words, Rav Shimon Gamliel would be saying that with a beis is not a kinui of a shvur. So when he says, so only if he says moimi, which itself is the word in Aramaic for shvur, then that would count, or moimsa. But if he says bimoimi, meaning in a shvur, then that wouldn't count, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's the Ran's second explanation. According to the first lashon is we're saying if he just says bimoihi, that doesn't count. But if he says bimoimsa, ja'oma moihi, then that would count. So even though he's using the word beis bimoimsa, according to the second version, we're saying that if he says bimoimsa, that doesn't count at all, only if he says moimsa or moihi, then that would count, because that itself is a lashon of shvur.